Last month, there was news on two fronts in the David and Goliath fight against big oil. Civil cases by states against fossil fuel companies continue to move at a glacial pace through the courts. But the lawsuit by Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison to hold large fossil fuel firms responsible for deceiving the public on climate change emerged as a campaign issue. On another front, a congressional hearing over the oil industry's false claims about the role of fossil fuels in the climate crisis, a similar issue, generated a trove of new internal documents proving the sociopathy of the oil giants and their lobbyists. So, Mike, where to start? If you want to start with the congressional hearing, which was, of course, the biggest news last month.
Well, Congress has been acting in this area just like they have in the area like criminal justice or any other area, far more effective, better results than litigating in courts. I mean, this committee hearing that you're talking about, Committee of Oversight and Reform, is remarkable. They have subpoenaed thousands, tens of thousands of emails, documents. They've called people to testify, and they have shown conclusively that not only is big oil a very complicated villain, because everyone that is uses their products every day, has been deceiving everyone as to the effects of this oil that they're selling us, and that they've been knowingly deceiving us. And the committee's hope is that big oil would convert into green energy firms. And it's not totally irrational, given that they've got networks of distribution, they've got huge amounts of capital, they could do that. And in Europe, a couple of the biggest oil companies are spending real money in order to transform themselves. But none of the companies here in like Exxon or Chevron, are doing anything remotely like it. Instead, they're cashing in this incredible windfall, making billions of dollars every week. That's been provided them by the Russia-Ukraine war.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the shift in the hearing from October 2021. This is a year-long investigation carried out by this House Committee on Oversight and Reform focused on the fossil fuel industry. The hearing title was Fueling the Climate Crisis, Examining Big Oil's Prices, Profits, and Pledges. So that's a very different declaratory title for the hearing that suggests it's presenting its findings that are more damning than the more tentative hearing from about a year ago. And in this hearing, they also brought many people to testify who are feeling the effects of the fossil fuel industry, the health effects, also brought up the issue of exploiting the war for their obscene profits. So there were a number of themes here and political arguments that emerged this year that was quite different from the hearing over a year ago. What do you make of that? Is
Well,
it that it's the result of a year-long investigation and now they're presenting more damning findings, or is it also in response to some political shifts?
I think they've been very resolute and determined and busy for a whole year, and they've done remarkable work. The sad thing is that no one knows about it. It's a sort of reenactment in real time of the movie Don't Look Up, because as the news every night guesses about whether or not President Trump is going to run for office or be thrown in jail, these people have been coming up with solid facts about how we've been deceived, how many people have been hurt, exactly how they've been hurt, what needs to be done to stop it, and how cataclysmic it will be for everyone if we don't stop it. And their report to me is just breathtaking, because it nails them. You're right, it's uncompromising language. They're not trying to get along with anybody. They're trying to tell it exactly like it is. And they're doing so very forcefully.
So their powers, though, are quite limited. I mean, this is a subcommittee on the environment, and they have some review role, but their powers are limited, it seems, to their ability to pass on their findings from the investigation to other bodies or groups that can do something about it.
That's it. They can't confiscate funds. They can't redirect funds. They can't put anybody in jail. They can't do much of anything except shape the narrative. And they can provide facts for narratives, for stories. They provide the stories themselves. They explain what's going on. they are a source, a really valuable resource of information. If you want to know what's happening, why it's happening, who's trying to hide it, they've got all those names and dates.
I think it's also interesting how the climate activists have emerged in these documents as targets of the oil industry and their executives and lobbyists, which in a way, I think, brings climate activists onto the stage of their consciousness and also brings climate activists into this David Goliath struggle as part of the drama. It's not just about the regulatory potential of the government, but they are clearly targeting climate activists. And there was a lot of discussion of gaslighting the public, but also of wishing harm to climate activists. And
not only harm, bed bugs.
Oh, that's like an extreme form of torture. Yeah, as a psychoanalytic person, I'm always interested in the metaphors people select and what it projects about their own, perhaps their interest in getting into bed with people in the government. They've been in bed with so many people to get their own way, and now they're climate activists are not such good bedfellows.
Well, that's true. The Sunshine Project people, Bill McKibben, all kinds of people are driving them nuts. So beneath the soothing greenwashing language of their annual reports and their press releases, they're really upset, and which is it's a great comfort to know that your efforts have not been as in vain as you might think, because their reactions privately are really strong and somewhat fearful.
Yeah, Barashini Prakash, executive director of Sunrise, in response to the hearing, said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they wish bed bugs on you, then you win. And I'm not so sure about the winning part, though. What's your assessment of what can be achieved through these revelations that have depended often, like with the tobacco industry and the pharmaceutical industry, and establishing a record of deceit, deception, and knowingly presenting to the public a message that departs from what you know privately to be true?
Well, we've had actually a remarkably good run in the legislature the last year or two. There's been the Inflation Reduction Act. Not only, it has some bad things in it.
Yeah.
The worst thing just got foiled in September when Joe Manchin was required to drop a process of fast-tracking pipelines and other invasive activities by the fossil fuel companies.
Right, which came out of coordinated massive political pressure all around the country by activists too.
It really did.
Yeah.
And that law also had hundreds of billions of dollars of solid investment in alternative fuels. It already, investment from Australia and from Europe has been coming to the U.S. because of huge tax advantages given to people who develop alternative fuels, particularly green hydrogen, which is basically water broken into its parts by the use of solar and wind energy. There's lots of really great things happening. And I must say the Democrats are breaking away from the bipartisan consensus. And they remain, of course, strongly allied with fossil fuel companies, but they've done significant steps forward because of all the various pressures that they and only they are subject to. If the Republicans recapture the House, there won't be any more hearings exposing internal documents of Exxon and Chevron. There won't be any more monies allotted to alternate fuels. That'll be cut off. So it's a really significant time. I mean, so often the bipartisan ruling class of this country that gets enormous defense budgets passed routinely, that gets favorable banking bills passed by all sides, and gets fossil fuel support at every level, that consensus is breaking down. There seems to be great legislative effort, which, let me say, is completely contrary to what's happening in the courts.
So before we close, let's return to that civil cases going through the courts. We've reported on those before, and the important work of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison on this front, as well as other cases. Can you say a bit about why those cases slog along so slowly and whether they're, you know, worth their weight, and whether his opponent, this Jim Schultz, was correct in saying this isn't going to go anywhere. It's a waste of time.
Well, the fact that Keith Ellison's Republican opponent came out against it was the best thing that's happened on this front, because the courts have essentially ignored it. What's happened is we've got an increasingly conservative judiciary at every level. We've got Exxon now has infinite amounts of money and time, and they have hired some of the most expensive lawyers in the country with vast resources to do depositions and review millions of pages of documents and generate billions of pages of documents, all designed to stop this kind of litigation. And they've been very successful. Keith Ellison's lawsuit, really well put together, which we enthusiastically described a couple of years ago, is totally stuck. They're litigating the question of whether it will be heard in state court or federal court. And that question is going to consume a decade.
And the federal court is what the oil industry wants, because that's the death of these cases, isn't it?
Well, generally so. You know, the federal judiciary has had, you know, saturated with Trump appointees, and it generally is more favorable. But they want to really avoid the state courts, because state courts can be far more conservative, but they can also do striking things. They can really strike hard blows of money, and even more importantly than money, which Exxon now has an infinite amount of, restrictions on their behavior.
Are the standards of proof different at those levels? What's required to prosecute a civil suit?
Well, it's not really the target goal. The goal of Exxon is to hang it up. They don't care that much where the final forum is. They want it to live in suspension between forums. That's where they like their lawsuits to be.
Okay, well, we'll continue to follow these cases, and hopefully the climate justice movement can push the right places and continue to make, I'm going to say mountains out of these molehills, make strides on this front. So,
well, we've got great activities in legislatures and states and the federal level all over the country, and that's where there is give. That's where we should push. And I'm sorry to say that the judiciary is you should never give up on these cases, and maybe there will be a breakthrough. There'll be a new judge and a shift in climate somehow that will allow these cases to proceed. But right now, all the action is with your representatives.
And as you're saying, although there are profound limits to the Democrats and even progressive Democrats, but there also are places where progressives can press and push to make things happen that will be much more difficult if Republicans take over this fall.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mike. We'll stay tuned.
We will.